Glasses, aunts, edification. Mrs. Watson had a nephew and a niece. They were lovely. Nevertheless, they were naughty. But Mrs. Watson never had a negative attitude towards them. And she never neglected their education. She told them nitrogen forms most of the Earth's air. What's neutron? The nervous system is the network of nerves in the body. And she told them it was impolite to call. Mrs. Watson always kept neutral when the two children fought. They themselves would negotiate a peace treaty soon. The children nicknamed her Glasses Aunt, because she wore her glasses all the time. Mrs. Watson was friendly to her neighbors. They greeted each other with a nod. That day, the children spent the afternoon netting butterflies. Mrs. Watson asked them to buy 200 grams net weight of before they went home. A neighbor visited Mrs. Watson. He complained that the children made too much noise and damp. Fortunately, the damage was negligible. Mrs. Watson sat on pins and needles. She found the children. The boy was climbing a tree. He was trying to put a bird back into its nest. Glasses Aunt praised their noble deeds. Also, she reprimanded their bad conduct. Neither her nephew nor her niece said anything. Later, noticed that the two children acted much better than before.
Mr. Porter. Mr. Porter was a notable detective. He had been nominated as the police sergeant. Nonetheless, he was only the nominal one, but he did not care. He was pleased to the normalization of the relationship between the police and the people. In the Northern Hemisphere, spring is in March and April. On April 4th, the people notified Mr. Porter to follow the tracks of a notorious murderer. Mr. Porter started out notwithstanding the heavy rain. He left before noon to catch the ship in time, and he decided to pay for the nominal fare himself. The ship sailed northward first, then northeast, finally northwest. Everything was absolutely normal. Mr. Porter took out a notebook and wrote down anything he thought noteworthy. He found the murderer easily because of the noticeable scar on the latter's forehead. Mr. Porter subdued him with a gun. Then he called the police. At first, the police did not have a notion of what he meant. They thought what he said was nonsense until they arrived at the ship. They asked him what reward he wanted. Mr. Porter answered that he needed nothing but a few days' rest.
A day in a nursery. Helen worked at a nursery since last month. The novelty of her surroundings soon wore off. She was not very homesick, only every now and then. As a nurse, Helen had a number of things to do every day. After standing for 8 hours a day, she often felt her two legs became numb. Now that she came here, she fulfilled her duties well. Lovely children made up the nucleuses of the nursery. They wore the same clothes made of nylon. They liked to eat nuts, such as cashew nuts and walnuts. Milk was drunk to nourish their bodies. Their bodies needed adequate nutrition. The children had eaten their lunch just now. They were allowed to go nowhere at noon, so they went to sleep. But Helen heard their whispers now and then. Helen liked reading novels in this period of spare time. She was learning many new nouns from novels. Unfortunately, nowadays, children often preferred watching TV to reading numerous books. Helen thought, what a nuisance that some TV program advocated nuclear war.
Civil Rights Movement in a Village. Thomas was a writer by occupation. Thomas was an objective writer. His book was not obscure at all. To write another good book, he went to a village working there as an occasional worker. The village had been in the occupation of a headman for 30 years. He was an obstinate man. He obliged the villagers to obey his orders. Obedience was an obligation falling on every villager. The villagers were obedient to him. Every order had been observed well. No one made any objection. On occasion, The villagers swore an oath to support the headman. Thomas was there on such an occasion. Various objects were put on the table. One of them was an oar. It was made of oak. He observed the oath ceremony carefully. It was obvious that lack of education was an obstacle of their awakening. Thomas objected to this kind of obsolete autarky. He smoked an occasional cigar. Thinking of a solution occupied most of his free time. Though the headman adopted a policy of obstruction, Thomas led the people to obtain their civil rights. The villagers had succeeded in their main objectives. They were obliged to Thomas for what he had done for them.
For Souls in Paradise. Dear readers, the following story omitted some part of it. Mr. White was on a ship sailing to Oceania. The ocean voyage would take a week. All at once, Mr. White smelt some odor off and on. It occurred to him a tragic occurrence. Mr. White was the offspring of a scientist and a dancer. His parents took a plane to another city. The plane crash occurred only minutes after takeoff. Mr. White rushed to the airport at once, but they had died. He prosecuted the airline company. His wife was at odds with him about this matter. She asked him, "Do you believe your efforts can make the odds even? What will be the offspring of your efforts?" And so on. So Mr. White decided to do it by himself. He did odd jobs to earn the legal fee. At first, his anger offended many people. In fact, Mr. White never intended to be offensive. An officer arrested him for offense of disorderly conduct. Later, an official of the local government called to see him. They promised to offset him by offering him some money. Mr. White told him once for all that he did not do that for money. He contributed all the money the airline company offered. Then he buried an odd sock his father omitted.
The first show. A new theater came into operation. It was opposite to an orchard. Onions were planted in the orchard. But it did not matter. Measures had been taken to optimize the management of the theater. Some advanced optical instruments had been put into operation. The operas were optional. Two operators received opinions from audiences. A computer operator was busy with his computer work. The theater orbited the audiences like the Earth orbits the Sun. The operational costs were pretty high, but the boss was optimistic about the theater's future. The theater curtain was opaque, so the audiences could not see anything behind. But a careful audience noticed that there was an opening in the curtain. The orchestra played classical music first. After the manager's oral introduction, a singer walked onward. His opening remarks were applauded by the audiences. They did not know that a surgeon operated on him for appendicitis last week. The operation was successful. The opera was not an opaque one, and everyone enjoyed it. So the boss's opponent got no opportunity to oppose the opera.
An original artist. Abraham was Irish by origin. He was lucky to meet Mr. Gray. Otherwise, he was an ordinary orphan. Abraham was not very active, but otherwise, he was a nice boy. Nobody else visited him other than Mr. Gray. He came to see Abraham every other day, and he found the origin of Abraham's interest in painting. In order to enlighten his talent, Mr. Gray did not educate Abraham with orthodox ideas. Abraham was an original artist. He originated a new style of painting, oar pictures. He used colorful oars to paint pictures, but Mr. Gray did not want him other than he was. Their quarrel originated in different opinions on art. Abraham made out his orientation. He left for Paris in order that he could learn more. The social organism accepted him and his pictures. His pictures were great ornaments because of their organic beauties. But Abraham died too early. One of his organs, heart, was out of order. Organs were played at his funeral. Mr. Gray entered it. He put everything in order. After that, he established an art organization, and he organized an exhibition of Abraham's works. Every picture in the exhibition was in order. The crowd was orderly and quiet. From Abraham's pictures, the visitors breathed the smells of the Orient and Oriental history. Now the original picture of Abraham's most famous work is in the British Museum.
Take a break in life. David worked in an oven factory. The outer walls of the factory were painted blue. One day, the boss drew the outline of a new kind of oven on the paper. David advised him over and over not to produce it without an overall market research. The boss's ability was very outstanding at the outset of his career, but now he had not an ounce of common sense. That was the shortcoming he ought to overcome. But the boss had been cheated by the outward appearance of the market. He overestimated the market demand. The workers wore blue overalls, working day and night. The factory increased the output, but the boss could not find new outlets for their products. The outbreak of price wars made the factory run out of money soon. The failure beat the boss out of his courage. David was very sorry with the outcome. He had nothing to do but resign. Anyway, he needed some outdoor activities. He ought to go outdoors for fresh air. On a sunny day, David went to the outermost outskirts. He had prepared a camping outfit. The outskirts had a pleasant outlook. The river overflowed its bank. David took off his overcoat since it was warm. It was such a nice day.
Happy imagination of a repairman. Frederick was sent to overhaul an overpass. The manager gave him an overview of the overhaul plan before he set out. Frederick climbed the overpass. From the overpass, he could overlook the city. He watched a car overtake other cars on the road. Frederick began to check the overpass, especially the overlapping parts. He could not overlook anything. Tonight he must finish the work on his own. Thus he needed to work overtime. Maybe he would stay overnight here. Overhead, the stars were out. There was a shortage of oxygen at the top of the overpass. Frederick felt okay. This afternoon, he overheard a colleague saying that some rebels would overthrow the government. Frederick did not care about politics. He cared for lotteries. His favorite football team had won an overwhelming victory at the semifinal. Owing to the rain, the final match was delayed. If it won, Frederick would become rich overnight. He owed $50 to his manager. He could pay it off. Then he could go overseas for travel. He owed it all to his good luck. Frederick was the owner of an owl and an ox. He was proud of his ownership, and he thought they would feel happy for him too.
The King's Taboo. A painstaking painter was hired to paint a wall of the palace. A panel would judge his painting a week later. Before work, the painter had collected many pamphlets about the palace. He noted that the palace's ceiling had a carved panel. He drew a draft on a pad, then began his former work. His assistant followed him, carrying a paint pail and a pan. The painter worked so fast that his assistant hardly kept pace with him. Soon there were three paintings on the wall. One was a merry girl paddling her boat on the Pacific Ocean. Another was a person jumped with a parachute. The last one was a giant panda lying under a palm tree. The painter was satisfied with them. He packed his package and took out a packet of cigarettes. But his assistant looked pale with panic. The painter was unhappy. "I take pains to paint them. Why are you sad? You make my heart painful." Thus the assistant painted out the reason. The king once was bit by a panda on the palm.
An apologetic letter. Isaac was paralyzed in both legs at the age of 10. His teacher had pity on him. Every morning, she let Isaac read a paragraph from an article in the class. She taught him the parameter of judging grammar accuracy and why more haste. Less speed is a paradox. The teacher's partial attitude called for another student, Jack's envy. Another naughty boy was his partner. Both of them mocked Isaac that he was a parasite on his parents. Isaac felt discriminated against since childhood. When he grew up, he worked in Parliament, and he played a part in it. His parents passed away in an accident. Isaac passed out when he heard the news. Even he knew they were happy in paradise. The pain in his heart never passed off. From then on, he participated more actively in all kinds of politics. Last month, he took part in a parade. The people paraded on the highway. The highway ran parallel to the river, which reminded Isaac the happy swimming time with his parents. Today, Isaac received a particular post parcel. It was from his classmate. In it was an apologetic letter. There was not a particle of fault in the letter. "Dear Isaac, pardon our strong language when we were too young. We stress that point in particular. We are all partly to blame, Jack and Tom."
A patriotic doctor. Mr. Abbott was a doctor. In the past, he had a passive attitude about life. It was said that he patterned himself after his father's behavior pattern. He liked to wear jeans that had a patch on the knee. His favorite pastime was patting his kitten's soft paws. One day, one of his patients died of cancer, which awoke Mr. Abbott. He read a passage in the Bible for the dead man. From that day on, Mr. Abbott had a passion to invent a new kind of medicine. He had great patience with it. He knew the only passport to success was hard work. On the day he finished the work, the laborers who worked for him demanded prompt payment. He paid up all he owed. After paying off the laborers, he pasted up the pattern of his invention on the wall. Mr. Abbott got a patent for this invention. His patron had great interest in it. He came to visit Mr. Abbott by bicycle. The patron came down a path paved with cobblestones. No parking on the pavement, so he had to keep his bicycle in the passage. Mr. Abbott was at home alone. His wife put their cattle out to pasture. The patron was quite a patient person. He advised Mr. Abbott to sell the patent to him. Mr. Abbott paused before making the important decision. Finally, he decided to contribute his invention to society. He did that to pay back the society. His patriotic action raised many people's admiration.
A peaceful peninsula. I am telling you about a peaceful peninsula. Most of the local people there are peasants. They've planted peppers, peanuts, and green peas at the foot of the mountains. The mountain peaks are planted with pear trees and peach trees. To check the trees, the peasants pedal their bicycles up and down the mountains every day. The pears and peaches cost $3 per kilogram. The pears and the peaches peel easily. There were many pretty pebbles along the coast. The local women used them to make necklaces together with pearls. The pearl and pebble necklaces are a peculiarity of the peninsula. The local people live in thatched cottages, but rainwater cannot penetrate their cottages. The pendulums of the clocks in their cottages are the same, a bear. That is their mascot. When one gets sick, he will be injected with penicillin. When one gets old, he will be paid a pension by government. The local people have a peculiar habit. They dislike visitors. Peeping from visitors is forbidden. Penalty, 50 pence. The visitors perceive that they are unwelcome and soon leave.
A brave rose. From the top of the hill, you could get a perspective of a theater. Agnes was a singer there. As a singer, she was perfection itself. Her performance was perfect. Agnes's photographs often appeared on periodicals. Perhaps she was so famous that Nazis wanted her to perform for Hitler's birthday. The personnel manager called on her in person. He tried to persuade her to perform the contract and sing for Hitler. "With your permission, I will inform them now," he said. Agnes refused. "I will not permit it to happen. This is my permanent decision." The manager said, "I have no right to interfere with your personal liberty. Last night, almost 100 people perished in the struggle against the Nazis. If you persist in that, they will persecute you. All personnel hope you can agree to perform." Agnes was a woman with a strong personality. In spite of his efforts at persuasion, she didn't agree. She replied, "I know that perfectly well, but don't perplex the issue. It isn't so complicated. What percentage of the audience is Nazi? I must get the story in its proper perspective. I am a Jew. I am 100% in disagreement with you. This is my perpetual loyalty to my faith. The roses perfume the air in summer and perish in winter. I know it is the most difficult period of my life, but I'd rather die as a rose."
A philosopher. A philosopher was fond of philosophy. His physical force was weak, but his mental force was great. He noticed every petty phenomenon. A pianist played the piano. A physicist was a person versed in or studying physics, and he must understand photoelectric effect. Both physicians and surgeons knew physiology well. A photographer must learn photography. Thus, he could take nice photographs. The philosopher could pick out these people from a group of people, and because he picked up some knowledge of physics and chemistry, he knew physical thing were those he could see, touch, etc. It was a physical impossibility for the sun to rise in the west. Petrol could be made from petroleum. He spoke in simple phrases to explain these to children. But the philosopher was going through a difficult phase. The government rejected his petition for eliminating the pests. This made him a little pessimistic, but he wasn't a petty person, so he decided to take a trip. He picked out a cat as a pet to accompany him. On the way to the railway station, he picked up a coin on the floor. Then he got on a train to Paris. The train stopped to pick up passengers. Then it picked up speed. The philosopher picked up French while he was staying in Paris.
An unforgettable picnic. Five pilots were pioneers in the aviation field. They were pillars of society. They picnicked in the pine forest this weekend. They brought enough things, a pile of pink pies, 10 pints of milk, and several pirated pictorials. One of them even brought a pillow. As soldiers, they had pistols with them. At lunchtime, each of them put a pinch of salt in the pies and began to eat. The pies were so delicious that a pigeon wanted to join them. A pilot played a tune on his pipe, but a pin pierced his finger. He had to take some styptic pills. Another pilot filled and lit his pipe. All of them enjoyed the nice moment. Nearby the pine forest, some workers were laying pipes under the road. It was said that the oil produced here would be piped to the east part of the country through oil pipelines. Some other workers were pitching the road with pitch. A pickpocket hid behind a tree. He looked like a pirate. The pickpocket stole a wallet and tried to flee away. The pilot pinched his arm but did not catch him. Another pilot pitched a stone at the pickpocket's knee. The latter fell into a pit. He himself touched a piston carelessly and was locked inside. The pickup was pretty difficult.
A football match. 3 years ago, a plague took place in this city. To encourage the citizens to rebuild their homesteads, the platform of the new political party demanded lower taxes. Now cattle wandered over the plains again. The plantations were everywhere. Today, two teams had a football match. The playground located in the middle of a large plateau. Team A and Team B stood in place. All the players wore playing uniforms. In the first place, Team A won the advantage because a player named Planet played very well. He suddenly fell down. All the spectators on the platform took pity on him. It was a pity that he had to quit the match. The doctor held his broken leg with a plaster cast. It was said the player would have a steel plate inserted into his leg. Team A had no one to take the place of him. It was plain that the situation reversed. In the last place, Team B won. Anyway, it was a fair play. After the match, all of the players danced in the place of playing football. They planned to have a party. It was a pleasant moment. Everyone enjoyed the pleasure except a little boy. He pleaded with his mother to take him to watch the match. His request sounded plausible, but his mother thought it was rather out of place. She pleaded that she felt very tired, so the boy had to stay at home, playing with his plastic toys.
The Poet's Death. I read a detective story last night. Its plot thickens step by step. A poet grew potatoes on his little plot of land. He plowed it from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The harvest was plentiful. There were potatoes in plenty. Every night the poet put the lamp's plug in the socket and began to write his poems. He looked up a pocket dictionary from time to time to use the plurals in it. His poetry was published last year. About pointing out the policy's errors, his poems were very much to the point. He did that like plunging a dagger into the enemy's breast. Of course, his poems describe nature, such as beautiful scenes at the polls. The poet didn't know that his enemy plotted how to murder him. They pledged never to tell the secret. On a winter morning, the poet died of pneumonia on the point of going to the hospital. But the police found that his death was caused by poison, some poisonous milk. The police car set out. They got to fit 5 policemen plus their weapons in the car. The police car stopped at the gate of the suspect's house and the policemen plunged in the house. The suspect was plugging a hole in the wall. He was trying to destroy the evidence. Now, to come to the point, the police solved the case quickly.